Our first lesson today, friends, is from the letter of James in the New Testament. Yes, we remember the New Testament, right? It's been a number of weeks since we've been in the New Testament, so it's nice to get back there today. The first chapter of the letter of James, the book of James, the first 12 verses, you're welcome to follow along in your own Bibles. The pew Bibles are simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the word of the Lord. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. In the same way with the rich, but in the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Thank you.
Now join with me, friends, in our second lesson today. I'm flipping back to the story of the kings, and this time we're actually in the first book of Kings, beginning at chapter 2, and then we're going to jump to chapter 3. So 1 Kings 2, 10 and 12, or 10 through 12. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You've shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous that they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I will give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." I'm not sure it's a goal of my life to be a wise guy. So many connotations there. I could be a smart aleck, or a mafia informant, or something more like Solomon, all being wise guys in some way or another, some sense. Of course, wisdom is not gender specific, and there well may be a bit more wisdom among the women. I can admit that. My wife will appreciate that. What I do know is that wisdom is something that is promoted as a virtue, something which we are told we should strive to obtain or achieve, and it is not something with which we are born. No one shows up in this world as a wise person, but all of us should want to be one. The first chapter of James points us in this direction, and guess where we are going today? In our journey through the time of the kings of early Israel, we've traveled through the story of Saul and David And now we are arriving into the rule of King Solomon. The average person really may not know that much about Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba. But if they know anything, it's that he's supposed to be Mr. Wisdom. Beyond that, they may have heard something about a clever scheme involving dividing a baby between two prostitutes, or they might know that he is the king who builds Israel's first national temple. You might be asking, so, how does Solomon relate to me? We are going to be spending 3 Sundays considering Solomon and his place in the history of Israel, and I'll say it's a dramatic place. Today we consider wisdom. Next Sunday we're going to think about the building of the temple that Solomon built, and the 3rd Sunday will be how Solomon's brand of wisdom worked out for the kingdom of Israel. Because to be honest, the kingdom was never bigger or brighter or more impressive than it was under Solomon. It was Israel's literal golden age. He was the master of his domain all around. In fact, he assassinated his older brother, who had a claim to the throne, and his father's general, and exiled his father's priest. People came from all over to buy horses and chariots from him. He had the corner on land trade with his Phoenician friends who ruled the water routes. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines from all over, and he built them altars to their gods and worshipped with them too. His building spree was massive, lasting for 20 years and included the temple, but he enslaved 30,000 of his own people to do it. It was his use of slaves that eventually split the kingdom and stripped most of it from his hand and family. Wait a minute. Some of that may or may not look like wise behavior. It may sound more like the wisdom, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, especially if you throw it hard enough. Solomon was promoted as the wisest person who ever lived. He is reputed to have composed the book of Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes, along with some Psalms. And yet the kingdom essentially fell apart over the course of his reign. That's later. But for now, we need to rethink wisdom in light of Solomon. I do think he excelled in wisdom in his day and age. It was just not your grandparents' kind of wisdom. Those people who might have told you, don't be judgmental. You don't know what someone else is going through until you've walked in their shoes. Take time to have fun. Smell the flowers along the way. Good manners don't cost a thing. Practice them and make an impression. People will forget how you look, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. My grandparents never told me any of those things, but those would have been good things for them to say. Solomon's wisdom is less relatable. He never had the luxury of growing up on a farm, tending to the sheep like his father David. And that is a little tongue-in-cheek because Solomon grew up in all kinds of luxury, just the normal kind for princes. No, I would say Solomon probably didn't know much about hard work at all, and could not identify with the common people, but he was good at puzzles and riddles and loved to learn and especially about different people and cultures, he became a student of politics and figured out how to make alliances and strengthen his political power. He was shrewd and cunning and clever, and he knew that if he wanted to make a name for himself and become the greatest king that he could ever be, he needed a strong mind first. He understood that knowledge is power. So it should surprise us not at all that when God made the great dream offering, pick your gift, Solomon, long life, power, riches, or wisdom, that he would choose wisdom. Because he understood what wisdom meant. Wisdom is the ability to get things done. He wanted to govern the people effectively, to be politically effective. He wanted to be wise in governing God's people. Just think about it. A wise king needs to be a good ruler. A wise teacher needs to be an effective educator. A wise pastor should bring an authentic witness of Christ to the people. Wise parents guide the lives of their children in healthy and good ways. A wise mechanic is able to solve issues and find the best ways to fix cars. A wise engineer builds things that will last and work well. You see where I'm going with this? Wisdom is a very interesting quality of life. Everyone from judges to sanitation engineers can use wisdom. Wisdom can take you through daily tasks, daily living, and daily decisions too. The more we seek wisdom in our living and doing, the better we will be at getting our things done in a better way. It's not something theoretical or abstract. Wisdom is deliciously practical. In my preparation for this week, I asked people what they thought about wisdom. And their answers were kind of all over the place. Some thought about knowing lots of things or being mature in thinking. And those are useful parts of wisdom. But it's also more. It could be knowing the right thing to do, but knowing the right thing and not doing the right thing are very different. Well, knowing and doing are very different. In fact, it would be foolish to know and then not do it. That's the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom is what was lacking in the evacuation from Afghanistan. We did not do it well or effectively in any way that seems wise. Of course, so much of the government work seems to be without much wisdom, since they really, they seem to accomplish so little, let alone well. What we should really certainly pray for wisdom for our leaders or our government, wise, real wisdom seems to be something more relatable on the local level. There's less bureaucracy and more accountability and responsibility for service in the community. And that's the next part. What do you actually do with wisdom? And what's more, let's say Christian wisdom or the kind of wisdom we associate with God. It's more than simply getting things done well if we think about this from a spiritual perspective. Solomon recognized this too. He prayed for wisdom to lead the people. This is an act of service to God and to the people God had given to him to rule. That's the job of the king. But his heart going into this was to honor God with his service as king. He saw wisdom as a spiritual gift to be used for God's glory. Unfortunately, Solomon also glorified himself a good bit, and this is the catch. If we receive wisdom, if you are given wisdom, It comes with the cost of having to use it for the good of others. God gives us blessings to share with others, wisdom included. There is no point to wisdom if it doesn't benefit anyone but yourself. After all, that would not be very wise, to live strictly for your own benefit. We are here on this planet to make the world better, our neighbors better, our community better. That does not come from serving ourselves. I can be the best and wisest lawyer in town, but if I'm only mindful of my clients doing my job, I don't look any different than an atheist who is a good lawyer. Greater godly wisdom looks for ways to reach out beyond what is expected and serves those who are in greatest need. Anyone who wants to do a good job is going to see to their customers. It's wiser to extend God's love through our gifts and service to those whom we need to love and follow through with that love. In embracing God's call through Jesus to love as we have been loved, we show a more beautiful wisdom. Oh, this is not easy. There's nothing simple or easy about wisdom. It makes us responsible for more when we are aware of new ways we can do things and help others. Also, James talks about us seeking wisdom in the middle of his teaching about being tested and tried by the struggles of life. Wisdom will help us get through the challenges and struggles and dark places, but we do need to ask for greater wisdom. God certainly wants us to be wise and will help us to get there. Yesterday, I was talking to Catherine Farmer, and she shared, and I shared this passage that I read from James because she said it was one of her favorite books. And I get that. James is a very practical, hands-on book that's not about theology, but living out the faith. It's a wisdom book in this regard. We need wisdom in our lives because wisdom will help us get through the struggle of faith and better succeed in our service to God. Solomon struggled to keep on the wise path, and his own glory, as it got brighter and brighter, his love for the little person seemed to diminish as his bank account got bigger and bigger. For someone who was given the map of wisdom, he seemed to eventually have gotten lost. Of course, we are here to do better, to live with wisdom from God, not only to succeed in our ministry and service in our lives, but also in our community. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do in life or the world. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing with wisdom. You will accomplish what you want to do with greater success. You will learn and be able to share. You will also be able to give God glory if you seek that wisdom from God. And that's the key. Here we are, friends. It's so tempting to think that we already know enough, or that we're already wise enough on our own to get things done. But the world is bigger than we are. The pandemic has reminded us of that. We need more wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need to be able to serve effectively as people of faith in Christ. So we need to be intentional about this prayer to God. A wise woman who was traveling in the mountains found a precious stone in a stream. The next day, she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone and asked the woman to give that to him instead. So she did, without hesitation. The traveler left rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew the stone was worth enough to give him security for the rest of his life. But a few days later, he came back to return the stone to the wise woman. "I've been thinking," he said. "I know how valuable the stone is, but I gave it back in the hope that you can give me something even more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me the stone." Wisdom is as wisdom does. God's wisdom is as God's wisdom does in our lives and in the lives of those whom God brings into our lives. To God be the glory. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our opportunity now to remember our